and ready to seize your first opportunity to come into the ring and start grandstanding and hot-dogging. Yeah!
I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long.
When we speak, our voices are heard. We all say, I bring it.
Welcome to the Online Wrestling Cast. I'll set your hair on fire faster than Mick Foley going through a burning table. Welcome to Malice Smack Talk. And welcome to the Extreme Rules pay-per-view pre-show cast. Tonight I've got my two cohorts. I'm Masonic Vader. We've got Jannetty.
How's it going? We're here to come at you with these.
Yeah. And Mind Freak just like zooming in on that screen. Look at him. He's ready to go.
Yeah, I'm back after a week. So it was a fun little break, but I'm back. I'm ready to drop some elbows off the top rope. Let's do it.
Yeah. Mind Freak coming back from his assignment with Coach. How was it, man? Was he a good guy?
Yeah. It was all right.
Dynamite drop in. Dynamite drop in.
Dang it. Someone hashtag the coach and see if he comments later. Hey, so like I said, this is our Extreme Rules pay-per-view pre-show match. We're going to be going through the lineup and giving you our thoughts and our feedback on the matches coming up. I thought we'd just go ahead and skirt the last week's matches since they were all boring as heck anyways. We're on SmackDown. So let's dive into this cornucopia of matches because, man, there are 11 matches, including the pre-show. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. So I thought we'd start off with the tag team division and jump in right into the pre-show match itself, which is going to be New Day versus Sanity. Not a lot of buildups. It's actually been building up the last 2 weeks when they introduced Sanity back into the fold. It made sense that they actually will have them competing against New Day since there are two factions that have three players in them. Interesting to know that they're going to start it off in a pre-show as a tables match. What's your guys' thoughts on this? Where are you going with it, Marty? We'll start with you.
I think this is a match that nobody really has any interest in. That's why it's a pre-show. that's basically what it comes down to. Nobody wants Insanity, which is kind of unfortunate because it's an Extreme Rules match. We have only not even a handful of matches with some kind of Extreme Rules or different kind of stipulations to it. So having a tables match off the main card and having a pre-show kind of hurts the event. However, I think that having the New Day on the pre-show is going to bring some attention to the pre-show. Normally you have matches on that nobody wants to watch, so if they miss it, they miss it. But having the New Day on there is going to kind of bring some validity to the pre-show and hopefully get some eyes on that. Personally, I think this is a big match for Sanity. New Day doesn't really need to get a win. I think at this point, they're really unbreakable. They can do no wrong. They're not going to get hurt if they lose a match. Sanity, I feel, needs to win this match. I don't really care for them, but I feel that they're the one that needs to get the win on this match to go forward. To coming right out of the NXT and really haven't had any kind of exposure or attendance or appearance on the main card since being pulled up.
Well, not only that, too, like with Sanity coming in, I mean, they were advertised, I think it was back after WrestleMania, and they just made their main roster debut. I mean, I know they had some stuff going on behind the scenes and whatnot, but I mean, it's to the point where, like, yeah, it's a build-up match. I think with this match, being an Extreme Rules match in the pre-show, it is going to kind of maybe set the tone for, it could possibly set the tone for how awesome Extreme Rules can be. Because of the fact, like you said, you have a big name like the New Day in the pre-show to try to drive more, viewership for it and kind of get that pop off to start off the evening.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. I'm kind of curious to see what they will do with Sanity. When they came into NXT, there wasn't a huge pop for them. It was. I don't know. It was almost a stretch. It was like bringing another stable in, but going through the farm system and see if we could build them up. I've always been a big fan of Eric Young. I've known him since the days of TNA and actually some time at WCW and everything. I've always liked his ring work. I'm getting to know Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane. Alexander Wolf, I kid you not, man. There are sometimes I watch his match and the way his haircut is, dude. It's like WWE's version of Sloth.
When I see him as, you know, what he does, like, the first thing that comes to mind is one of the psychos from Borderlands 2. But, like, to just run at you and, like, smack themselves with the head like a bucket kind of thing. Like,
man, his hair pops up, dude, and it's like a beaker on steroids or freaking, like I said, man, like I'm watching the Goonies or something. New Sloth is all back.
Give me a bucket and I'll show you a bucket. Kind
of thing. and Marty, you bring up a good point, dude. There's not that many Extreme Rules matches. So to have one of the classic Extreme Rules as far as with the tables match and everything, I don't get it, man. I mean, I get why they – I mean, I would rather see a different match in the pre-show that has some pop to it, that doesn't have an extreme kind of rule match to it, and then bring that in, because everyone wants to see tables, ladders, and chairs, man. They want to see that stuff in extreme rules. Yeah, well, we want to bring people to the pre-show, not scare them away, bro. I even thought about that. I was like, man, why isn't Finn and Baron in the freaking pre-show? But Marty brought up a good point. It's to bring some bring people to the pre-show, and that makes sense. I get that, but they should have did it with a different match.
I agree with that too. However, I feel like you can't do it with Balor and Corbin. As much as, you know, people want to see Balor, hey, right now nobody wants to see Corbin and nobody wants to see that program. So that would be a wrong one. So I mean, in order to put somebody on there, I mean, you look at one of the tag team matches, and you know, maybe you put the Delete of the Worlds or any person of B team on there, which I feel that is a match that should be on the main card, but you're not going to put the Bludgeon Brothers on there, because you're not going to put America's Sweetheart and Daniel Bryan on the pre-show when he's the first title match back, even if it's as a tag team with Kane's return. Match that they could have done pre-show would have been KO and Braun. There's nothing to go forward with that, but then you're putting another Extreme Rules match or another match with a stipulation in it as a pre-show match again.
I sometimes don't get why they put pre-show matches in the first place. Like, I mean, in this scenario, like I'm looking at this entire lineup that we'll be talking through. There's not really a match worthy to go on the pre-show that you're going to be wasting, in a sense. They should have just sat there and put the New Day Sanity as the opening match or whatever to kind of get it going and found something different. Maybe off NXT, maybe off 205, probably off 205.
Look at what match or what title is not be defended on this entire card.
Oh, Universal title, you know, because Brock Lesnar's got to get ready for his UFC championship. Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's being defended. That's being defended on Sunday. It's on the pre-show also. It's in the You Can't See Me match. But no, you got Cedric Alexander. Well, you know, he's not fighting at all on this pay-per-view. And that I always felt that the Cruiserweight title is a perfect fit-in for the pre-show. Always has been, and I think always will be.
Yeah, they just actually had a good match this last Thursday. They wasted it. Tuesday. They wasted it. That was a great match. That should have been on there.
I going back on that one, you know, don't want to get too deep in it, but seeing the Tommy come back and have some kind of solid program, him and Cedric.
Hell yeah. I think, did he break his tooth get knocked out a little bit or get loose or something? Is that what was going on there, man? Something, it looked like.
I didn't see something happen. Yeah.
Hey, so before we jump any farther in this, I want to just take a minute, because obviously, if you guys have been watching us, we're on episode 9 now. We got to give a quick shout out to our parent host site, which is Malice Corp. Phenomenal site, all things geek and nerd. Plenty of different podcasts to go around to find whatever you're looking for. Quest for 100, Beacon, and Big Papa Matt trying to watch 100 movies at the theater within the year. They're going to do it. You got Comics for All. You got the main cast that happens every Friday night at 8 p.m. This week they're going to be having a takeover and a Comic-Con special, as Comic-Con's coming around next week in San Diego. So thank you so much to Malice Corp. Check them out. They're up there on the screen there. Check them out. They're a great site, and I've had a lot of fun with them since I've been with them now for about a year. So, going back into it, though, back to it, who do you guys predict winning? I see Unfortunately, I see Sanity winning just because this is their going to be, I think, their third week. It's got to be their push match. And like you said, New Day doesn't – they can win or lose. They're still the New Day. Everyone loves them. What do you think in Mind Freak?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Sanity. I mean, Sanity came in. They had a couple, you know, decent matches, you know, like with the Usos and, you know, Jeff Hardy and the Usos. So I think even, you know, having a big name like the Usos, or not the Usos, but the New Day, just to kind of give them a win and kind of like, you know, solidify like, hey, we're here, we're going to, you know, we're going to cause some sanity. And I think a way to do that is the win over the New Day.
Yeah. Marty?
I think that Sanity's going to win this match. I think they're the ones that need to win this match. Given that, you never know what WWE is going to do. They put things over. I can tell you what I know we're going to get is that we're going to get somebody thrown through a pile of pancakes on top of a table. But go with that. I think
Sanity's those pancakes. Oh yeah. All right. So we're going from there. Let's stick in the tag team division. Let's go. We got two title defenses. We'll start off with the one that's been pushed down our throat enough. The Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No. On one side of the match, you've got a fan favorite. You got Team Hell No that hasn't been together in, I believe, 5 years. This will be their, I think, second match as just a tag team. I know they did one last week, which was a 6-man, I believe. No, a 10-man tag. So, you know, you've got Daniel Bryan and Kane. Interesting to see Kane, like we mentioned last week in the podcast, that he's wrestling right now since he is running for mayor. Going against the Bludgeon Brothers, which is great. I think they're just kind of like the silent freaking Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, there's no flair to them. I mean, they go in there, they walk around with these crazy ass masks. They got their big ass sledgehammers. They go in there, they bludgeon the shit out of people, and then they move on. So it's going to be an interesting match. I'll start off with my thoughts on this guy here. I think the Bludgeon Brothers are a very quiet but solid tag team. Their work is getting better every week. Eric Rowan's actually been picking up the mic a lot more. Their work inside the ring is just straight, just beating down people, which is what I think sometimes a tag team division does need. And having them going against Team Hell No, it's good because everyone wants to see Daniel Bryan wrestle. I think it's unexpected that they brought Kane back in and just automatically give him the championship match. I'm excited to kind of see what I wouldn't say excited. I think I'm very interested to see how the chemistry works out and how the match works. I'm really hoping that this is eventually going to – I mean, I've said it now for the last 5 weeks – setting up freaking Miz versus Daniel Bryant. We'll start off going to you, Mind Freak. What are your thoughts on this match?
So I have mixed thoughts on this match, and I have mixed thoughts for two reasons. One, it's really when you come down to it, it's, yeah, you know, everyone loves Daniel Bryan, and what I think with this match is going to be is going to be a way to get the titles off of the Bludgeon Brothers in some type of, you know, validity, you know, with in a sense of Team Hell No. But on the flip side of that, I think something's going to happen where Miz is going to come out, cost them the match, which ultimately will set up Miz and Daniel Bryan. Those are kind of my two thoughts, and that's why I'm kind of, you know, going back and forth with it. That's the way I see it.
Pick a winner. Pick a winner.
Team Hell No. I'm gonna call it. That's what I'm thinking.
So Mind Freak's going with Team Hell No. Where are you going with this, Marty?
This show is supposed to be called Smack Talk. However, it's never Smack Talk because we're always on the same damn page. Because I feel like we all feel that this is going to be the stepping point for the Miz and Daniel Bryan. I think that how Team Hell No is going to win. They're going to win because of DQ. And the reason being, I feel like after this last week's Miz TV episode, we're going to get Miz coming out, and this is going, he's going to cause something to happen in the match, whether it's DQ or just, you know, just distraction to where Daniel or King take the loss. But I feel like this is going to be a stepping point. Kane's not going to be around too much longer. He's got more important things to do, like making it officially Rusev Day in Knox County today. I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but he actually made that official, gave him certificate, oh, everything. But Kane's not going to be around much longer. But I think this is the stepping point to get us that Miz, Daniel Bryan's program leading into SummerSlam. Because I feel like this is the program that can easily go from SummerSlam to WrestleMania and have a great payoff.
But the biggest thing that comes down to that too is if Daniel resigns.
Well, I'm gonna go against you guys. I don't think Team Hell No is gonna win. I think the Bludgeon Brothers are gonna win because I'm the salty veteran here, and I know how WWE thinks. And in this situation, I mean, they just did it on NXT. If you guys haven't watched NXT, spoiler alert: Mustache Mountain ends up losing their damn belt the week after they win it, and that sucked, man. Because I really wanted to see them go a couple weeks with the belt, at least a month. It was a great match and how they did it, but I don't think they're going to do that with Team Hell No. I don't think they're going to win. I think Miz is going to intervene, and it's going to go into the favor of the Bludgeon Brothers. I think they need to push this through and start the Miz rivalry with Daniel Bryan. They need to get Kane out of the picture again. I'm sorry. I think the Big Red Machine has run his course. He's got other things more pressing to do. I think it's great for nostalgia, but ultimately they're going to give the win to the Bludgeon Brothers, and I really do think from here they're going to set up a freaking nice rivalry with the Usos, because I think the Usos are the only tag team they actually go, I don't want to say toe for toe with them, but the chemistry that the Usos has the mic skills and the presence that they have on the screen is the only thing that could actually work well with the Bludgeons right now.
The Good Brothers.
Yeah, no, the good brothers. They it's not. I don't think it's a chemistry with them. It's just the mic and the presence they have. It's just that you with the Bludgeon Brothers, you've got the complete opposite. You've got silent, going in, kicking people's asses. That's it. At least with the New Day, or not the New Day, the Usos, they can kick ass, but they also have the mic skills and the presence to kind of talk crap to them. New Day has that ability, but right now they're kind of like, they're like comedy relief, and they're not pushing them yet to get a tag team run again. So I really do see the Bludgeons winning this match. It's going to set up Miz and Daniel Bryan for SummerSlam. Daniel's going to re-sign, but then they're going to take the Bludgeons and the Usos. I think that's going to be the next run going to SummerSlam.
Team Hell No, that's why I think Team Hell No is going to win, but they're not going to win the titles by any means. Bludgeon Brothers are going to retain the titles, but they're going to lose the match. But here's the one thing, and I haven't seen anything. I was looking for this earlier. Is what's going on with Cesaro and Sheamus? We haven't seen them in like a month and a half.
So I actually saw something about that. They're both. It was a couple days ago. They're both in their homelands. I'm not sure if it's like a work visa thing, or if they're trying to get it renewed, or if they're just on vacation visiting family. They're not in like any bad standing or anything backstage. I think they're just taking a little time off. So like I say, either work with their work visas or spend time with family. So to your point, we haven't seen them in a while too.
Yeah, and Cesaro, man, I think Cesaro needed a break, dude. That thing he had freaking athletic tape on every part of his body at one point or another. Man, that guy's one of the strongest and hardest working guys in the ranks, but man, he never gave himself a break. In between, get his teeth bashed out and his shoulder destroyed. I think it's good he took a break. And I mean, honestly, it'll be one of those things where I think they'll let them go through SummerSlam, and then when SummerSlam comes up and whoever wins that championship, they're going to come back and make their presence again. Give them a long due rest, because SummerSlam, when you really think about it, it's only like freaking like 7 weeks away. Yeah, it's not that far away. So give them a little bit of time off and have them come back and just start going fresh again from there. So we got two for Hell No and one for the Bludgeons. So see, we're not always matching up, even though we think the same on a lot of stuff.
Doing that to be different.
We may be different as far as winning the matches, but we're all on the same page. Just keeping the titles.
Well, that's what happens when you have people that actually are fans of WWE, but then it also shows how sad it is the writing gets sometimes that we can predict it. So you get your last tag team match of the night, the Leaders of Worlds and B-Team for the Raw Championship. This is actually a match I'm excited to watch because regardless of who wins, I'm excited. I like the outcome. The leaders of worlds, Matt Hardy and freaking Bray Wyatt are great men. Since the minute they got that chemistry going, I've actually started liking Bray Wyatt more. I was getting to a point where I was getting tired of Bray,
buzzards and.
Buzzards and freaking flies and
lightning bugs, whatever they call
them. Exactly. And his character was just kind of running its course, especially when you got rid of Rowan and his buddies there, and he was just going solo. And then you get Matt Hardy, who comes in with Woken, and man, it's like everyone wants to see him, but now you got freaking Bray Wyatt's craziness going with it, and it actually melds, and it's a great combination. And then you get the B team.
It's not a great combination. It's a wonderful.
Oh, standing ovation! Standing ovation! And then you get the B team. And man, let me tell you, not only has the B team gelled together really well. Okay, I've said it before. I've liked Curtis Axel. I've liked Bo Dallas. I think they've been underutilized, but at the same time, it wasn't that they were underutilized as much as they just had no place to go, and they finally found a place. And not only did they find a place as a tag team, and all the beginning can't be like, oh my god, we won, but dude, they pull off a perfect impression of the Deleters of Worlds. And I guess it does help that one of them is like the freaking brother of the other.
A little bit.
Just slightly, man. Like I'm looking forward to the day that Curtis Axel goes solo and Bray and freaking Bo team up, or even better yet, Bo freaking jumps in with Woken and freaking Bray, and they start doing a triangle there, man. So,
well, once he started growing his hair, like slicking it back and growing his beard out, I thought he was on the path to joining Bray, and then all of a sudden this whole thing came about. But
it's gonna happen.
I'm loving it. It is. It has to. Eventually, it has to.
It does.
The B team, as gimmicky as it was when they started, and it still is, but which you expect that when it's Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, when they've been the kings of gimmicks for the last 3 years, they've been going back and forth and whatever things they've been part of. But when you look at that, I mean, on the Raw roster, their segments have been towards the top as far as some of the best segments going in and week out because of those perfect impressions they're making. And the fun that they're having out there, and you can see they actually enjoy those characters, where some guys are out there just reading a promo, and even though they're making fun of already established characters, they're taking these characters themselves, and they're becoming these characters, you know, and it's, they're just bringing it fire every week on what they're doing, and the matches they're having, the fact that they both have got a win over Matt the last 2 weeks, we all know how that works. You know, it doesn't mean anything going into a pay-per-view. But I think that, like the New Day is, I think the Deleters of the Worlds, they necessarily don't need the titles to get over. They are over. They don't.
Yeah.
I think they're a team that can get by just being themselves without the belt. Where you give the belt to, the B team, it's going to elevate them, but I think you're going to bring some more to those battles, because I think you're going to get to see some different tag team combinations coming after them.
Yeah, the tag team division is kind of turning a little bit, which is good. The B team was a nice injection of life back into it, which I feel is it's done exactly what it's, you know, the fans have jumped onto it. The Leaders of World has also engaged the fans back in the tag teams. Mind Freak, throw your sense in, man. I see you ready to pop, dude.
It's going to be a great match either way, but my prediction is this. I believe in the B team. I believe in the B team.
Oh, I'm going to go Bo. I mean, yeah.
I was waiting to interject that one.
Yeah. And that's what I appreciate about the B team, man. Axel and Bo Dallas. Like, Bo Dallas had a very successful run in NXT, and the minute he's been here has been it's been quite disappointing. And then Curtis Axel started off well, coming out as Kurt Hennig's son, Mr. Perfect's son, actually winning the Intercontinental Championship like his father before. And then all of a sudden just kind of went off to obscurity. And then when they brought both of them on as the Miz Taraj, you started seeing something with it, which was nice.
Yeah.
And now they've been able to go on their own and create something all the way down to just creating their t-shirts. Like, no joke, they wrote B-Team on a t-shirt, and now you could buy that swag. You could buy that merch, man. So
B stands for best. And no, and to your point, absolutely. Like, when they were the Mistrage, even when the Miz was gone shooting Marine 6, like, them kind of doing their own little thing with it, that was kind of like the start of it, a little bit more so to the fact that, okay, we could actually kind of split them now. And I believe in the B-Team.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, this match, for me, I do think the B-Team's going to win, and it's just because of the fact that, like what Jannetty already said, the Deleters Worlds are on a streak where even if they lose, they'll be back next week and everyone's going to love their promos, Woke and Matt and everything. But the tag team division needs something like the B-Team right now. They need a fan favorite. They need something. I don't want to say it's a comedy act, but it's something that brings life into the tag team division again and start bringing them all, bringing everything whole again.
Look at the last team to do something like that. And they're now the longest reigning tag team champs in the history. And that's the New Day. You know, they did that gimmick, and you know, look where they started off as, the Southern Baptist Preacher Squad or whatever they were, and that quickly got changed, which I applaud the WWE daily for that they saw how much of a failure that was and dropped them into Power of Positivity and making them who they are and Bootios. But that, you know, it's the same route. You know, it's not full-blown comedy, but it's some, you know, a little bit of a gimmick to get them that comedic edge compared to these other, you know, well, I mean, you can't really say seriousness as far as the Deleters of the Worlds goes, because they're a full-blown gimmick too. But if you look at, you know, the other tag team match, our teams that are on there, you know, they're more serious tag teams, you know, and coming out of this match, I guarantee the next team that's going to come up and make their face known is going to be AOP. And they are the complete opposite end of the spectrum of both of these teams.
God, thank God you didn't say muffin tops, man. I was going to smack you if you said muffin tops.
I was going to reach in the computer and just back
in. If that ever happens, that's when I hang my headphones up and I walk out forever.
Muffin tops.
Hey, yeah, last point. I if they do win, I can't wait to see the B-Team barbecue they do on Monday night.
Oh, my God. I can see them coming out with a brand new shirt that day of the
B-Team, and then they drew the tag team titles on the bottom.
Or they say, put belt here. Exactly.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be awesome. If not that, they're going to have a big white paper B taped to the front of their tag team belts.
Nice. Absolutely. Oh, man. Yeah. So, all right. So it sounds like we're all in favor of the B team taking the championships, huh?
Yep. I like it.
All right. Works for me, too. Now, if you guys are watching this show and you think otherwise, please tell us in the comments when you're watching this on YouTube or whatnot. Let us know what you guys think. If you're seeing this right after, you can sit there and either praise us or tell us we're complete schmucks or not knowing what's going on. So, but yeah, feel free while you watch it, give it a like, give us 5 stars, because you know we just look cool enough to have 5 stars. And in about 2 months, we're all
gonna be ugly boy shirt, but hey, whatever.
Oh, what? Come on, dude. You can't go.
Hey, Ken, get the table.
Oh, blood. Hey, blood.
Too late.
Table
is the main. This is the main show. This ain't the pre-show. This is the main show.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Hey, so now from moving on from the tag teams, we got that. Let's start going into the individual competitions. I'm just going to get this one out of the way, man, because I just need it to be done. Finn Balor and Baron Corbin. We already talked about it. I don't even know how much time I want to spend on it. Constable Corbin's a joke. It's a waste of his talent. And then Finn Balor, him smiling all the time and everything, it's just not the Finn Balor that I've seen since day one that I want to see. I want to see Demon Finn Balor coming out and ripping someone's head off. I to be honest, I think this is when I'm going to go get my chips and salsa and drop the deuce or whatever I'm going to need to do. I care less who wins on this match. I hate to say that, because Finn Balor is a much better talent than what this is. And like I said, I think Baron Corbin's got potential, but this is just a garbage gimmick for him. So, there you go. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't think it's a garbage gimmick for Corbin. I think it's a great gimmick compared to what he was doing.
It's garbage, dude. He's got better talent to that, and to sit there and have him associate as Stephanie McMahon's freaking constable. We talked about this about a month ago. Kurt Angle's doing a phenomenal job. Why the hell did they got to throw a Constable Corbin in there just to kind of throw pee in someone's bowl of Cheerios?
Because they're trying to do the authority angle again.
You know, that part I don't care. I'm talking about the look. I'm talking about the attitude. That's the kind of personality that I've worked with Baron Corbin.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, being Stephanie's right-hand man or understudy, overshadowing Kurt. I'm talking about the actual appearance and personality and persona. Not specifically the character that he's running, especially compared to the Lone Wolf. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the constable act without the constable.
Yeah. You know, what I consider, I think Balor's going to win. There's no reason for him not to win. However, I feel like this leads to a program that hopefully this opens the eyes to the entire program and the entire organization of how bad Corbin is. Talk about how he's way over talented for what he's doing. I disagree. I think he's way under talented for being on this main roster. There's many other guys who are on the NXT roster or in the back room who aren't being showcased that have much better talent than Corbin does. I think he's wasting that spot. I'd rather see a program with Balor and Elias than Baron and Balor. And you know, Elias, I feel, is one of the most underrated personalities on the entire roster. And he's not even on the main on his card, but Corbin is. I get why he is, but I think, you know, look at every program he's been in. Everybody who's come out of that program after has been severely diminished and tarnished for what they have. Ziggler, people wanted his head after that program with Corbin, and they had nothing to do. Right before that program started, Ziggler was one of the most loved guys on the entire roster. And that's something to go with Baron Corbin. He's just not as talented as people think he is. I think he gets by because he's facing these stellar talents that he's going up against. And here we go again. Another superstar talent going up against Finn Balor. And it's going to carry the match and make it look presentable. But Corbin's going to bring Balor down, and it's ridiculous.
Mind Freak, get in there, man.
Yeah, I like Corbin. I like him. I see all the points and I see Jannetty shaking his head. I like him. There's times where, you know, it seems like, you know, he could do a little bit better. But within this match, it's, you know, to the point. I mean, Elias is so underused. I mean, a couple months ago, I'm just like, it's Elias. Now I'm like, all right, I'm coming over to Elias.
Now over to Elias. Walk.
Now here's an interesting thing. When they were both in NXT, Baron Corbin actually was a really good superstar. He dominated quite well. There was not a lot of mic stuff going on. He just came in, and a lot of his matches were 20 seconds or less. He just literally came in, hit the ends of days, and moved on. And I liked that part of Baron Corbin. And then you had freaking Elias, who no one wanted. I mean, dude, Corey Graves on the weekly, Corey Graves was wanting to just beat the snot out of him or tell him to get the F out, dude. He just was not digging it. And now you look at the what's happened since, and this once again goes to the writers and what's going on behind the scenes. Baron Corbin has more potential than what they're giving him. Is he going to be the next champion? Hell no. But if they could kind of focus him back on how he was like in NXT, where he just came in and dominated, quit talking so much and quit being someone's stooge and just go out there and just rip someone's head off, okay. But then
who's he gonna do that to? Who's he gonna do that to? Roman Reigns? No. Who's he gonna do that? Finn Balor? No.
Well, you got a lot
AJ
of big
Styles? Shinsuke Nakamura?
Well, okay, Strowman, let's not go Seth there because Shinsuke is a waste of talent right now, too.
There's nobody who, you know, you can have these squash matches with Corbin all you want, but until he's doing it with actual talent who's holding up that roster, it doesn't mean nothing. And you can't have Baron Corbin. He doesn't have the talent in his finger to come up across him to even do anything like that with any of these main superstars on this roster. So the only people he's going to be coming and smashing like that, and I'm not, you know, they can't even do it anymore. A month ago, would have been the B team. Not anymore.
Well, remember, he is an Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner. So it's not like he hasn't done anything yet. So he has done some stuff.
So is Mojo Riley.
Yeah, well, Mojo Riley is really not going anywhere either, even though they're trying to change his persona too.
Yeah, they are. He's going to the back of the conga line.
Yeah, so it sounds like to me, I like I said, I don't care. I hope Finn wins, but at the same time, I want to see Demon Finn. I'm tired of this freaking smiling all the time, Finn. This is crap.
Like,
where's the paint?
He's got that smart ass smirk to him. It's not a small much of a smile, it's more of a shitting grin.
Yeah.
And Baron Corbin does not warrant or deserve to go up against the Demon King.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do agree. I think Elias and hell, even the Miz doesn't even have a freaking match. He's just going to be a freaking add-on to a match to start up something. Yeah, it's once again, writing right now in the WWE is very shaky. And that's case in point with this match. But it sounds like Finn Balor's the go-to because no one likes Baron anyways.
Not true. Mike said he's going for Corbin.
No, I did say I was going for Corbin. I said I like Corbin, but I see Finn winning.
Man. You're playing with these teases over here.
I'm not playing with these teases. I was explaining something.
Yeah, it's like he's juggling and kind of massaging, and all like, you know. So then we, which comes to the next regular match, because this is obviously Extreme Rules. So I want to try to get all the Extreme Rules stuff going in or non-stipulations. Roman Reigns versus Bob. Bobby Lashley,
Bob.
Okay, so I'm actually excited to see this match, especially after this last week, where there's where you can see the heat that they've really developed. Like I see at one point or another, there's actually potentially some real, like, not like, hey, pretend like you hate each other. I think there actually is some animosity between these two. A lot of the promos they've been doing the last 3 weeks, the whole like, hey, you would have been the guy, but you left and you thought you'd be great in UFC and how'd that do for you? And then, hey, you wouldn't have been the guy if I would have stayed anyways. I mean, I like this, man. I'm starting to see a lot of personal sentiment going in there a little bit, which is what the match needs. And they're both very, athletic. I'm hoping I see a little bit more move sets with them, because a lot of the complaints about both Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns is that they have six moves. So that means
ridiculous. It's Roman has like double that, and Bob has as many moves as he does letters in his first name.
Roman Reigns, you know what, to be all honest though, man, Roman Reigns for a long period of time had the same thing going. It was the same setup, the Superman punch, the spear, you know, he was doing that for a while. He was going Cena. Now, just like Cena though, Cena started adding some different moves into his repertoire, and same thing with Roman Reigns. He started adding some other stuff as well.
No, not everybody could be a man of 1,000 holds. Not everybody can have, you know, be the submission expert.
Yeah, but you got to have at least more than a dozen.
The Rock is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Yet, he only had a handful of moves and everyone loved the shit out of him. Hulk Hogan, I can't really stand the guy, but he was an icon. But you know what? He only had a handful of moves and everyone loved the guy. Andre the Giant had like two moves.
Wait. I'm going to stop you right there, because here's the thing, dude. When you're bringing in Hogan and Giant, that was a whole different...
Let me get to my point.
All right.
Roman Reigns.
Go ahead.
Everyone wants to compare him to the rest of the Shield, Dean and Seth. Well, here's the thing. There's three different personas in those three characters, and you're not going to get the same. Dean's going to be the lunatic fringe. He's going to be doing different crazy shit. And you got Seth Rollins, who's basically going to be the universal guy. He's doing high off the rope moves. He's going to do submission holds. He's going to be doing jumping out of the ring. They all do a little bit of those, but you're going to get more versatility and universal moveset out of Seth Rollins. That's why his matches are always so great of match, no matter who he's fighting. Roman Reigns was the brute enforcer of that group. He wasn't the guy coming out to put sharpshooters on. He wasn't the guy going to do Boston Crabs. He's not going to do no moonsaw off the top rope. He's there straight force and power, and that's exactly what he's doing. Those people who want to bitch and complain about him not having a moveset don't know what the heck they're talking about, because he's not meant to have that moveset. He's not Bret Hart. He's not Steve Austin. Not Ric Flair. that's not who he's meant to be. He's meant to have a selection of moves and get them done and do it at a high caliber. And you don't see the Big Show doing millions of moves because he's a big guy and an athlete like that. So those who complain about that is one thing. I really don't care because that's one of the weakest arguments. But when it comes to Bobby Lashley, who's a known wrestler and MMA guy, and only has four moves, and one of his moves is just holding somebody up in the air longer than all of his other moves take to perform all together, absolutely ridiculous. And just Bobby is just a waste of talent on that roster.
Okay, so now let me kind of fight you on this one a little bit, dude. The reason why people give Roman Reigns so much crap about his moves up until recently was because, quite frankly, he was a predictable wrestler. Oh, okay. Now, hold on a sec now. All right. Let me explain something. I'm going to even go back to when you threw Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant in. You're trying to compare two different eras, even to the point where even where's the f-ing mute on this thing, man? All right. So being that I'm the elder statement here, and if I wish I had the mute button, I could. The 80s was all about just show. The 90s was all about the attitude and the actual persona. So the Rock, Stone Cold, they had the same movesets, but it was their actual acting ability, the way they made their characters and who they are. Your newer generation of wrestlers now have to be wrestlers. They have to have skill sets and moves. They can't just do the old crap from before because, as you could see, Roman Reigns got a lot of heat because you saw the same thing all the time to where it would be a Superman punch and the spear. That's what it would be every single 16, time. It's predictable. And when you
do 16 German suplexes in a match, everyone goes crazy for it.
It's a gimmick on that, dude. It's a total gimmick. I mean, just ultimately what makes wrestlers happen now is the fact of how athletic they are and how much they could just wow the audience. Like, man, when I was talking about wrestling to the Malice Cast, when I first talked about bringing a podcast here and talking about wrestling, they were giving me so much shit. And they were just like, oh, my God, no one watches wrestling. What wrestling's a bunch of guys that are all oiled up and like to grab each other and stuff. And the first thing I threw out with them was like, okay, well, you need to watch it again because the women, first of all, are carrying the show. This was obviously back when the revolution was happening. The women are much more athletic. They're doing moves that the guys are doing. The guys are doing stuff that I've never seen before. One never saw Hulk Hogan do a freaking moonsault off a top rope. I mean, that's kind of like the era we're in now. And I'm not dumping on Roman Reigns because of the fact I actually do like Roman Reigns. In fact, out of the Shield, he's number two, and I think Dean Ambrose is number three. But the whole gripe about him has been the fact that he was shoved down our throat. He was labeled the guy. He's the one who's beaten the Undertaker as the Yard. And then his moveset was just always constant. So he has evolved his moveset. He's become better. He's actually he's winning the fan base over again. So I'm a Roman Reigns fan. I am excited to see what him and Lashley do because, like I said, the heat they've been doing the last 3 or 4 weeks, if they could take what they've been doing off out of the ring and put it in the ring, it has the potential of being the best match of the night, to be perfectly frank. And that's why I'm hoping they pull it off. I mean, I'm really – because I definitely see there's some kind of animosity there, and I hope they can put it in the ring.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to carry this match to that next level is the fact that I think there is some real bad blood in that match between the two of them. I don't think it's going to be the best. I don't think no matter what they do can be the best match unless there's a couple other matches that just completely bomb from what's expected. But I think it's going to be one of the top three matches, absolutely. But when you look at the two guys, they're both going to be the same type of fighter. It's going to be an all-out power, just brute force, going to beat the crap out of each other. And that's what we're going to get. We're going to get some rear naked chokes from Roman. We're going to get some holds in the arm bar, maybe or something from Lashley. But it's going to be about power and force. Who's throwing who around the most and who's going to slam the other person the hardest and who's going to get the pin. I know who I want to win. I think if you've been sticking around for as long as we've been doing the show, you'll know exactly who I want to win. Because when it comes down to it, I have no problem saying it. Damn right, I am a Roman Reigns guy, and I will be till the end. However, that being said, Bobby Lashley is going to win this match. And I hate
that's real
that.
Talk right there. That's real.
Bobby Lashley's winning this match.
That's real. My freak, what do you think?
I'm a Roman Reigns guy too. I like Roman. I mean, I've even talked about it a couple times on the cast. You know, some of his better promos have been this year here in Southern California. But you also have to look at some of the past matches Roman's had this year and how many people he's helped put over. And I think it's going to be Bobby that wins this to help kind of get him over again.
Yeah, and then I agree. I definitely think Roman Reigns is once again going to be used as a push for another character. However, I think that actually Roman Reigns is going to win the match, but I think what's going to end up happening though is that the match, if they could pull it off, is going to be enough for Bobby Lashley to push himself. Something's going to happen. I don't know. When I think of about this match and everything he did, I see Roman Reigns winning it, but at the same time, I almost see like a double DQ. I almost see them trying to push this going through SummerSlam. And the reason why I say that is because the heat has been so much lately as far as, like, you know, if I was all the banter they've been doing outside, that if they could put the quality of match in I'm expecting and really go balls out, get some kind of a double DQ and they could push that through SummerSlam. I really do think they could take that, move it. I think Bobby Lashley needs something like this. Because Bobby Lashley, when he was here before, was always known for his athletic ability. He's a big, strong guy, but he was a quiet, nice guy. And it's been a breath of fresh air to see him start coming with some kind of attitude. Because quite frankly, his voice doesn't match his physique. I've said that before. But to see that angry, kind of like upset Bobby Lashley, I think they can roll with this, and I think they can make something of it, and they can push it through SummerSlam enough time to get Dean Ambrose back in and kind of get the Shield going again in a sense too.
I think that another scenario that I feel might happen too with everything else that's been going on, because when you look at it, Roman's been running two programs for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I feel that this, like you said, WDQ or something like that, something's going to happen. And that would be the perfect time for Drew McIntyre to come out and insert himself and even make this a triple threat program going forward.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
The reason being, if you look at what's going on, you have Roman going against both these guys who both guys have been slated in the past to be the future of this company. Both of them have left. Both of them have come back. Both of them, I don't care for Bobby Lashley, but I feel he's a better performer and athlete and a wrestler than he was when he was in the company the first time around. McIntyre has completely become a completely different performer and superstar. And I think he's at a much higher level than he ever was. And with the fact they have that program going, if this program with Bobby Lashley, I don't see this only being a one-time or one-third leg of a program. I think it's going to be a full program. But I think they have money with McIntyre and Roman as well. And I think if you have McIntyre with Lashley, they can have I was actually the chosen one. That was known. You were just here in my shadows and you left before I did. They can do all that. And I think you just have a bigger program. And then you have this going through SummerSlam, going through the fall. You know, here's the thing. Brock Lesnar is back in the testing pool and going to be fighting in January for the UFC heavyweight title. We're not going to see Brock Lesnar for the rest of this year. We got to have a big storyline to get into the rest of the summer and through the winter to get through this. And I feel like having McIntyre include himself in this storyline, going to get progressed for all three of these guys, so extremely high level that nobody saw any of them ever reaching. And I think that's where that double DQ or that something happening is going to come from. It's going to come from McIntyre.
And you know what? That's a great scenario, because if you look at it, Bobby Lashley in his first run with the WWE was actually considered the future as well. I don't want to sit there and say he was considered the next big thing, but the freak of nature size and ability and agility and everything about him, they definitely saw a bright future with him. And yeah, I see that totally. I think it even is going to go to a point where Braun Strowman is going to turn his money in the bank title in. He's going to win the belt somehow. Somehow they're going to get Brock in here, even if it's just for like a he comes in and does like a promo, and he gets beat down by someone, and Braun Strowman comes out, or just freaking comes out and cashes in, beats him, and wins it. They got to get the title out of his hands, because Raw cannot go an entire year without a title. And
I just want to see him show up to UFC and cash in Money in the Bank in the middle of the UFC octagon.
Okay, that would be freaking phenomenal.
It would. I mean, they took a page out of WWE's book and did a promo with Brock Lesnar the other day, so why not have WWE come
throw it right back at him, absolutely.
And just last two sets, producers saying Muffin Tops are going to be the one that caused the DQ.
Oh, man.
That's why he's a producer and not an on-air talent for us.
Hey, but you know what, though? We're taking our producer who doesn't know much about WWE, and now he's talking about Muffin Top. So, you know, he's following along. He's
following along.
The power of our show compels him. There you
the
go.
The power of positivity.
Yeah. All right, so it sounds like we got, two winners for Roman, and I'm just like, I can't really throw a winner. I think it's going to be a DQ.
Come on, man. I'm saying Lashley's going to win.
Yeah, dude. Okay, all right, cool. I misheard, my bad.
I will be cheering for Roman to win, but I feel that Lashley's going to get the edge.
Yeah. They got to give Lashley some kind of push like this, especially coming into the SummerSlam season. So, all right, so we're going to get in those title matches now. Now, before we jump into titles, once again, I just want to thank our producer who's being on the scenes, because he's one of the co-founders of Malice Corp. Check them out. Our podcast on Malice Corp, the main cast, is Friday nights at 8 o'clock on Twitch. That's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So for you guys on the East Coast, man, you got to stay up late. If you've got nothing going on Friday night, man, you need to hang out with some nerds and geeks online and learn some cool stuff. You'll see me, Masonic Vader, once in a while on there. But then also, like I said, this week is going to be their Comic-Con cast. And also go to the site itself, malice-corp, just because there's some great articles on there about everything going on, anything from comics to movies to tech news. And occasionally you're going to start seeing some wrestling stuff probably on there as well. So once again, thank you to our host, Malice Corp, there. Going back now, we got our championship matches, and I always like to be a gentleman about stuff. So when we talk about championship matches, we go ladies first. Between the two we have, I'm going to go with the one that I hate to say it is going to be the B. It's not going to be the better of the two. It's going to be Carmella versus Asuka. You got Carmella versus Asuka. The stipulation in this one is James Ellsworth, no chin, is going to be a shark cage. Like, we haven't seen it before. So I'm just going to throw it out there. Okay. He's going to drop some kind of spray or something in the ring. Carmella's going to get it. It's going to get in Asuka's eyes. And for God's sake, they're going to give Carmella the win again, which is going to make me pull out the little hair I have left on my head. I can't pull it off the beard because, as you're going to find out, this beard gets longer as the year goes on. And one day you're going to look at me and figure out I'm a whole different person, which that's a whole different conversation later. This is going to suck. I already see it. What should be Asuka winning the championship is not. It's going to be Carmella winning the damn belt, and it's going to be some kind of crap that I just said. No chin has no business in this. Carmella has no business holding this belt right now. Her promo's the only reason why she's holding the belt. Other than that, though, this is freaking ridiculous and going on too long. Becky Lynch, Asuka, Carmella, Charlotte. These are all women that should be holding that belt.
Honestly, I'm just going to leave it this way. I absolutely agree with you. Something's going to happen. I will be shocked if they give Asuka the win this week. As much as I want her to have that title, I agree with you. Ellsworth's going to do something. Carmella's going to have it. And I don't know.
Marty.
Ellsworth's going to screw something up because he's Ellsworth and he's a screw up in life. It's who he is. You know, he's screwed over so much that life decided not even to give him a chin. And that's the way it goes. But he's not going to do anything enough to where it's going to cause Carmella or cause Asuka the match. He's going to get to something, and Asuka's going to catch him. She's going to break his little limb. Hopefully he can go back to whatever garage he's wrestling in for whatever paper belt he's walking around wearing. that says C Team Champion on it. I don't know. But Asuka's going to win this match. She's going to beat Carmella. Carmella has done her run. She's not going to keep this belt. Asuka's going to get this belt. And this is going to lead us to the summer. And this is going to lead us with a program to Asuka and Becky Lynch. And you know, at the end of the day, that's just where we're going. And I don't think Asuka is going to lose this match. If she doesn't win tonight, she's never going to win that belt. Or this weekend, she's never going to win that belt if she doesn't win.
No, she's going to get the belt. The problem you have with the women's division is you've got too much talent right now and not enough gold to chase. And obviously, we've talked about the women's tag team or women's getting the tag team division, which I've actually seen some articles lately popping up about if there's enough talent for the women to have tag team championships, which there is enough talent going through. It's called NXT, and they've got a crap load of it, especially coming through, especially with the Mae Young Classic 2 coming out soon.
Wait, who's coming? Did you see who's coming back for the Mae Young Classic?
What's that?
Nope, he's coming back for the Mae Young Classic.
I know Tony Storm's going to be coming back for the Mae Young Classic. I know that for a fact. So that's a start. There's a lot of I can't remember the exact roster and what they have in there, but there's a lot of talent that's going to be coming through. And I want to agree with you. I really do think Asuka's going to win it. But like I said, I've been watching this too long, and I know WWE gets predictable at sometimes, and this is going to be one of those predictable things. There's no reason, because the last time they had a shark, someone suspended in a shark cage, they did the same exact crap. They dropped something from it, and that's how the match went, ended up losing. And WWE is anything but predictable.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could actually see James.
The last Shark Tank match was a pretty awesome match. It was KO and Jericho.
No, I get it, but like I said, there's always some. There's in this situation, there's no reason why James Ellsworth should even be associated with this match. It was stupid that they brought him back in the first place. I could see him, his skinny ass squeezing through the freaking bars and freaking jumping down. I don't know. Something stupid is going to happen, and Carmella is going to come out with the championship. That's all it's going to be. WWE is too effing predictable sometimes, and that's what's going to happen. There's so much negative heat on Carmella and James Ellsworth that they don't want to let it go. And that when she does lose the championship, it will be at SummerSlam, and it's going to be in a crazy three-way or four, either a three-way match or a four-corner tornado, whatever match. I don't know. It's going to happen at SummerSlam, and they're going to push this crap and James Ellsworth all the way through, and it's just driving me insane, because the good thing that you had going with the women's division on both sides and both brands has slowly but surely fizzled, and this is not helping the cause at all. And to have a paper champion like Carmella running it, I think Carmella has a future, and I do see her being a champion again. But I think she needs more time, and she needs more scars, more roughing up in the ring before she gets her next championship. Because you can't have Asuka running around with no belt. You can't have Charlotte running around with a belt. You can't have Becky Lynch not have the belt again. Becky Lynch deserves a title run, and she needs it sooner rather than later. But all the people I've mentioned, even Naomi needs a match. Hell, I'd even put Lana as winning the belt next before Mella.
Hey, only... we want some Mandy.
Hey, well, she's on Raw, though, dude. We haven't gotten to that side yet.
SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She is on. Yeah, I'm thinking Riot Squad. Damn it.
No one thinks about Riot Squad.
Yeah, okay, I give you. Liv Morgan's not bad to think about. All right, anyways. but, yeah.
Hey, so,
I live with Liv.
So yeah, I'm going to say Carmella is going to win it, and it's going to be something stupid from James. It sounds like Marty says Asuka's going to pull it off, and my freaks agree with me.
He's going to go off. He's going to end causing her the match and the belt. And we'll then see you later, Ellsworth.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Yeah. All right, which I think is going to be the better one, actually one of the top matches, Alexa versus Nia Jax.
It can be one of the top matches if they execute it properly.
Yes.
And why I say that is with this whole Ronda buying a ticket and being a fan and being in the front row, it can either be the best match or it can be the absolute worst match. Yeah. Depending on how that goes and what they do with the outcome of that match.
So this week actually made sense on why Ronda Rousey is going to be there. We're thinking at first it's because some kind of interference, who knows, and to get ready for SummerSlam. And all honestly, though, it was because of what the news was that they dropped this week about Ronda Rousey, about how when you buy 2K18, she's now one of the new wrestlers, the early lock wrestlers, which freaking A makes sense. And in fact, I just to kind of side note that if you haven't seen that trailer yet, dude, that trailer is awesome. Gives you chills. I love it, dude. Just to sit there and have her going in there, and all of a sudden you hear Roddy's conversation with her, the actual conversation that's legit. That's not someone making up his voice. If you haven't seen that, go back and watch it. It is an actual conversation that Roddy Piper has with Ronda Rousey about the time that she started talking about coming into WWE and carrying name and getting the permission. You can see the jacket on there with the RP on the jacket and everything. That commercial gives me chills. It actually made me think, because I haven't bought a WWE. I know this sounds bad, but I haven't bought a WWE game in God knows how long.
Well, you want to say something worse than that?
What's that?
I bought the last three, and the last one I've only played twice, and I bought it on Black Friday. That's bad.
I'll put you this way: the last one I own is actually PS2, and I think it's SmackDown. It's old. It's
those
old.
Those are some good games. I'm not gonna lie. Those original first SmackDown games were some pretty awesome games.
Oh yeah, I'm excited about that.
I think I'm gonna buy the game, dude. I think the promo got me in, but that promo was sick, dude. I loved it. But now, at least now we have a better understanding why she's showing up for this pay-per-view on the side is because it's more of the promo of the 2K versus anything, or at least to kind of glom onto it. The match itself, though, man, I agree with you. Something is going to, I mean, Mickie James is going to be ringside, which is going to be stupid because something's going to happen. Maddie's going to be, there's going to be too much stuff going around from the match, but I really hope they could pull off the match, because I really do want to see Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. And to be perfectly frank, I do want to see Nia Jax beat the crap out of Alexa Bliss, because it's been waiting. We haven't had that beatdown yet, because it's always been some kind of a disturbance from the outside, or never the full go. I want to see the full go. I want to see Nia Jax just rip it. I'm not doing anything ill against Alexa, because quite frankly, I think, dude, there's nothing better than seeing Alexa Bliss weekly. I mean, she's awesome. I mean, she's awesome in the ring. She's awesome out of the ring. Roster. Yeah.
Her mic skills and promos are some of the best that are out there.
Absolutely.
Moment of bliss.
Yeah, I would love to see the tag team division form and have her and Toni Storm tag team. That would be a great match. Oh, yes, it would. But they need to give Nia Jax the belt back. I think that would be a great roll into the go into SummerSlam with Ronda Rousey Nia Jax too, and actually be a much better match than, like, the first one wasn't bad, but I think the second one would be so much better. Especially with more time for Ronda to kind of get into the groove. Not only that,
if you do it that way, you know, you can set up the promos a lot better, because I said this, I don't know how many times, you could have done the promo so much better with Nia and Ronda had it been, I'm challenging you because you're the baddest one on the planet and I'm the champ. Let's go. Let's see what happens.
It would have been better if it was on an actual show rather than some meet and greet at NBC Universal Studio.
Well, yeah, absolutely, that too. But also at the same time, not having Stephanie interject herself, trying to cause, you know, bring up a storyline just to bring one up when you could have done it so much better. How many times have I said that over the last couple of weeks?
Here's what I could see actually happening because of everything they do. SummerSlam is going to be a fatal four-way. And it's going to be Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey, and probably Natalya. Because those have been the ones that have been getting the push for it.
And up until she got injured, Ruby Riott was getting the push. And there was even talks about trying to put her into a championship opportunity, too.
Sure.
Already shaking his head over there. Yeah, you can shake your head all you want. It's what was being talked about, what was looked like was starting to happen.
Ruby Riott wasn't even in the ladder match.
Because she was – yeah, she wasn't in the ladder match. She should have been.
If she was getting a push, she would have been in a ladder match over Sasha.
But you have to understand where the WWE stands with Sasha.
Yeah, the Ruby Riott was a good pick not to have in the ladder match because she at the point when she was injured, she actually had some there were some build up gain. She was starting to, she was getting things moving. I agree with Mindfreak. She was starting to get built up. The injury was unfortunately not happening. And the good thing is Liv Tyler, Liv Morgan. Mixing everybody up. Riott Squad now has a chance to kind of go on their own and kind of hopefully build themselves up and not be Ruby Riott's just freaking thugs in a sense. Yeah, exactly. going back to the match itself, yeah, I see the Fatal 4-Way happening at SummerSlam, and I do see hopefully Nia Jax pulling it off this time. At the same time, though, and this is something we talked about, does it make it to now where Alexa Bliss, man, she's got so many titles already in just a short period of time. Are they starting to saturate these ladies with too many belt runs?
No. Yeah, I think there's some people out there who have like 4 or 5 time, title holders, and they've got them all within 3 months, and it's ridiculous. Sasha, Charlotte and Sasha have, 8 title reigns all within like a 2 month period of time.
Charlotte deserves it though. It to Charlotte.
Charlotte deserves to have title reigns, but make it a long title reign, and win it and then lose it, and then win it and lose it 3 times within a month and a half. Yeah. That's not what you should be doing. You should be having
the traditional. I absolutely agree with you on that one. Me and you have talked about that so many times. And how pissed off were we when it was going back
and forth? Becky Lynch has not had the title once. And she's had it for longer days than Sasha has had on all of hers combined.
Yeah.
Yep, and that's once again goes to writing. Anyways, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole again.
I got Nia Jax.
You got Nia Jax, Mind Freak. Who do you have?
I got the Goddess.
Of course.
Lemmy. All right. We got through the ladies. I'm excited to see those matches going. So we got 3 more matches.
Three. I thought we had 2.
No, we got 3, man.
We got the secondary.
Yeah. We got 3. We got 2 titles.
Oh, yeah. 3. Yeah. That's
and right. Probably the better of the 2 of the 3 matches left. I'm going to start off with one of the titles because I do think it's going to probably be the out of the 3, probably number 3. And I hate to say it because the talent there is great, but Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke for the U.S. title. Dude, I'm sorry. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Shinsuke, to me right now, has nothing going for him. All the talent in the world, and the writers have just destroyed him as a character. They gave him great setup music, but the whole BS freaking low blow stuff, the horrible AJ title or AJ Styles freaking fights and everything, that just it just put a sour taste in my mouth. I watched Shinsuke through NXT, and man, he was great. You didn't want Mike skills because he's still getting the language down and everything, but for the limited mic skills he had, he worked with it, and it was his in-ring and his whole freaking crazy demeanor, this whole like out-of-body experience kind of thing that you watch when you watch this guy wrestle. It's been awesome, and I was waiting for him to go heel because when you watch him wrestle, he's got striking skills, he's got mat skills, that he could be a heel, but that crap run with AJ Styles has put a bad taste in my mouth to a point where you've got Jeff Hardy, who's one of the best and future Hall of Famers in the league. He's been having a great promo. They're starting to have Nemo come out, and then you get Shinsuke for a U.S. title match, and I just don't see anything out of it. I think it's going to be Jeff carrying the match. Something stupid's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm not excited about this match anymore, man. Shinsuke's character to me needs to go away for a while. They need to rebuild him back up and have him come back because I just don't like his where he's at right now. Mind Freak, Marty, jump in.
I think it's going to be – I mean, obviously, I think we're going to get a great match out of Jeff on this, as much as he can be a great match with Nakamura. I like Nakamura. I know that some, think his matches are boring. I like his matches for the most part. I mean, there's some that have been on the negative side, just like, okay, it's over with. But I think that we're going to see something more out of him than we did with lining up against Jeff. a little, maybe even a little more than we saw with AJ. And I think it's more along the lines that there's no expectation with Nakamura and Hardy, where there was, you know, a buildup and a history and, you know, an expectation of what AJ and Nakamura were going to do and put on. And you don't have that with Jeff in that match. I think out of the secondary matches, this is going to be the belt that does switch hands. I think that Nakamura has been around, he's, you know, done his dues. Whether you like it or not, or whether he's been positive as far as a character or not, I think this is a good time for him to win that U.S. title. And I think that, you know, whether it's a continuation story between Jeff Hardy or some other guys coming into, you know, the ring, you got the Miz out there still. You got all these other guys who could be mid or upper mid carders who aren't doing anything right now. And I think that you can have some different storylines with Nakamura holding that belt, essentially for ransom and hostage, but on the show performing with that belt. And I think that you're going to see that heel Nakamura come out with him holding back that title away from everybody. And I think we're going to see a decent match between the two of them. But I think Nakamura is going to come out with the title. And I think this is where we're going to see Jeff, something happen to where Jeff Hardy's going to go away for a little bit again. And he's going to come back with more of that Brother Nero character coming back out.
I actually think there's a possibility that Nero kind of gets in with Bray and Woke and Matt. That's, I think they're going to start some crazy freaking, I can't explain what kind of a faction that is at this point, but it's going to be freaking the Outcasts or something like that, man. Or what was that carnival one back in the day? The Freaks or something like that. What was that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That was one where freaking one of them dressed or carried around a Cartman or something like that. God, I can't remember. I have to go back and remember that one. Marty, what are your thoughts on the match?
You mean Mind Freak?
Mind Freak.
Yeah. We don't want to talk to Marty anymore. Mute him. Yeah. All right. Go Mind Freak.
I think it's going to be a good match. I mean, I've been a fan of Hardy since, you know, growing up, Team Extreme. And what he does in the ring is fantastic. And, you know, I've seen Shinsuke in NXT. I've even seen Shinsuke before he was in WWE. He has the moveset. He has the talent. So it's going to be a high-flying versus the striker. And it's going to be – I think it's going to be a great match. As far as the title changing hands, I can see Shinsuke winning it to the point where, you know, he just had this, you know, a decent feud. It started off rocky, started off weird, but it kind of finished up strong with AJ with that last man standing match. And I think this is a way for, you know, to get a title onto Shinsuke and then kind of like see where it leads up to. And then, you know, a bunch of mid-card matches, but also too, when Randy comes back, it's a good way to kind of put Randy back into a kind of a little feud with Shinsuke too, because they've kind of had a team that kind of had each other's backs. Well, coming back in, it could be a good way for, you know, Randy to kind of jump into something decent. But you also have other people on the roster too that he could have a title with. But see, Shinsuke winning it.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing. I think Marty hit it on the head, dude. There wasn't a lot of buildup for this match. It was just like, all right, cool, here's your match. Enjoy. And you haven't really seen much buildup to it. The last couple weeks, you've been seeing Nero come out and talking, but it's about it. So, yeah, I think that's the reason why I don't really – out of the last three matches, I'm not really feeling anything on this one. I'm hoping they do turn out because, like you said, Jeff Hardy's been a player since day one. I've loved him, like you said, when Team Extreme and everything. He's had a great individual singles career as well. And Shinsuke, I think, has had a great start through NXT and has just been underutilized and mishandled with his current character, especially through the possibility of one of the potentially greatest rivalries between AJ and Shinsuke. I think there should have been more out of that. So I'm really hoping that Shinsuke can come out positive with this. If he doesn't, though, don't be surprised if he's put on the shelf for a while to kind of have that character get rebranded or something, because it's just anyone who's an NXT fan who's watched him come through it and maybe even seen him before NXT, there's a lot better. There's more you could do with Shinsuke than what they have been giving him. And I know I say that about a bunch of guys, but I've harped this a lot with Shinsuke, because you could see him go heel, but he's much better than doing low blows. And I really hope this match ends up being good and turns him around, because if not, you won't see him for a while. So
Before we jump into the last two matches,
yeah.
I know we briefly mentioned it, but we didn't pick winners. Real quick, winners, Braun KO, steel cage match. Who you got?
Oh, yeah, good call. We didn't pick that one out. Yeah. I have to go with – no, you know what? No. I'm going to say Kevin. And the reason why I'm going to say Kevin is something – I mean, Braun's already got his Money in the Bank title. He's already got that. He doesn't need this win. It's going to be one of those weird scenarios where Braun throws him through the cage and freaking Kevin falls out first. That's how it's
going. Oh, you mean like a Roman? And
too many times. I see it. It's just because Braun runs through everything. Braun's so exactly destructive. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So
I got KO winning that match too.
Yeah.
More especially with the whole doctor's note. I think it's going to come to play.
You know? He needs a win though too. He's been ever since they split Sammy and him up. He's been kind of like Braun's freaking ragdoll. Yep. So he needs to have a win out of this, especially after the toilet travesty. Oh, that's got to suck. Yeah. At least it was a clean one, man. I mean, unfortunately, I have to say there was a 9-month period in my life where I worked for a company that does those, and yeah, man, that was a fresh, brand new. Hey, bring us a new one and just put the blue stuff in there and nothing else. And that's he got lucky. okay, we got two matches left. I'm gonna go with the match that is gonna be probably one of the headliners, but it's not gonna be the match of the night. Match of the night is going to be the last one we're going to talk about. The one we're going to talk about now, and this is my personal opinion, so you could beat me up if you want to. AJ Styles versus Rusev. It's the only heavyweight championship or the only main championship belt we have in existence right now. I mean, fighting for this pay-per-view. I like this match because Rusev has had a great streak. He was undefeated for so long, and then he had his little ups and downs. He's been solid for the last 7 months to a year. I think it's time that he has a belt around his waist. I think it's about damn time they give him an actual chance to win the belt. He's a great performer. AJ Styles, we mentioned this, I think, last week with you and Marty. I think AJ Styles needs to take that, needs to let go of the belt for a little bit. I know it's the house that AJ built, but he's had a very long, successful run, and the belt is getting stale. I think it needs to be around someone else's waist, and I think Rusev is the guy to have it right now. He's got some of the best pop going right now. To enough to where even Aiden English has pop, and his wife Lana has pop. She's got her own shirt. She's always had pop, but now she's getting better pop, and it's all because of Rusev. Rusev has been solid. His in-ring performance has been great. His mic skills have been great. I'm waiting for this guy to take the freaking championship and dominate for a while because that's the type of wrestler, that's the type of person he is. He is a dominating wrestler. And so I think this is going to be one of the best matches of the night. I think you're going to see a lot of great hitting, a lot of great moves from AJ. AJ is going to come out and do a lot of crazy stuff, man. I think this is going to be a good showcase match, but it's also going to be a good match to have him lose it with no shame. And him being able to get that rematch, possibly around SummerSlam, or the for them to figure out something they could do with. But I think Rusev, and I'm going to just throw it out there now, I think Rusev's going to win it, and he's well-deserving of it.
Yeah, I'm going to completely concur with you on that. I think Rusev has been one of the most over talents on the entire WWE roster for the last 6 to 9 months. Continually performing at a high level. His promos are much better. His promos, he's been coming this, even the last couple of weeks, have been dominant and just destroying AJ Styles, who's one of the best on the mic in the entire WWE. But the fact that he's coming out and he's harder than ever, he's winning fashion, just like he was when he first came out, and he's kind of shed everything from the past of all the negative that they had put on him and the bad storylines, and he's finally a character that everybody can get behind. Not only just because he's a brute force and is coming in destroying everybody, but because he's got a character and personality now. And I feel like when he first came out, he was missing that. And that's why they had Lana. And that's why they were so good together. But now you have him with Aiden and kind of mixing back and forth with Lana, but him doing his own thing. He's built. He's, you know, we mentioned not long ago about how Seth Rollins had, you know, at one point he had the mic skills, and at one point he had the wrestling skills, and now he's blended it all together. Same thing. He's always had the wrestling skills. Now he's got the mic skills, And what better time to put it all together than with that belt? AJ has been a phenomenal, I think, throw that out there, champion since he's had the belt. And the fact that, you know, he's done such a great job in carrying this company as far as he has, you know, it is time to get some new blood with that belt and to move on. And even if you still have AJ chasing, you can have AJ turn heel. Either way, he's going to be beloved by everybody. But you're going to give him a more rejuvenation, you know, to become something different and rise to a different level, especially coming out of that Nakamura program that should have been much better. You know, even the program, there's a program for a few months with Rusev. That's going to be a solid program. AJ can make that happen. But I think this is going to be best for AJ. I think this is going to be great for Rusev. And what better time for him to win the belt than when he's on fire and destroying everybody? And more specifically, on Rusev Day.
On Rusev Day. Absolutely. My freak.
So, you guys know I'm an avid AJ Styles fan.
No idea.
Never, I
couldn't see with that shirt on.
Yeah, you know. I 100% agree with both of you guys. As much as I love AJ, AJ has done so much. He's good with the belt. He's good without the belt. And even before you even start talking about this, like I was thinking about this, I want to see Rusev with the title. And it would be a great program between him and AJ all the way through SummerSlam. You know, kind of going back and forth. I mean, even like look at last year when AJ lost the title and then regained it back towards the end of the year. I haven't wavered from AJ. I've been a fan of him, like I said, with the title, without the title. And this is going to be a great program. This is going to be a great setup for Rusev. Rusev is more than deserving of it. And with how much pop that he's been getting and how much more that he has now with the mic skills, with the movesets, with Aiden at his side, kind of doing that whole thing. So I'm going for Rusev also.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow. And
you went against AJ and I went against Roman. The hell must be freezing over right now.
I know, right?
Well, that's because we're speaking real truth.
It is. It's real truth. It's not that I don't want to see AJ lose it. To the point, he kind of needs to rejuvenate his character. Like to see like an AJ heel turn, kind of, you know, maybe see a heel turn with him and the Good Brothers, kind of bring the club back together, you know, and beat up John Cena again. But
well, John Cena has to show up.
I know.
Hey, yeah, man, no. Get married.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, so I mean, this is the perfect time for Rusev. I don't know if you've noticed, but man, Rusev is probably the best shape of his career that I've seen. Absolutely. At least he's coming out. He's on fire. He's ready to go. I think he's the perfect belt holder for it right now.
Yep. And no matter what happens, though, AJ will still always be the champ that runs the camp.
Yeah, my God, that's, you know, you're bad when you have to take some of Cena's stuff.
The fella that takes down the fella.
So with AJ, for him, it's not like he needs a rejuvenate or anything. It's just he needs to step to the side for a hot minute and let someone else run the belt. He's still going to be one of the main prime time. He might need to step away for a second, get rid of soccer mom's haircut.
I'd rather him have the soccer mom haircut than bring back the damn puka shells. Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the little flat top and everything. Yeah,
and I will tell you this: I do like him with the Sakamon hair compared to when he had the buzz cut when he was in TNA back in the day.
Yeah, when he was about 20 pounds lighter. Yep, looks like a little bit of sauce there.
Even though he doesn't need to do it, like, and I probably said this once before, when they decided to bring Buddy Murphy up from 205 to the main roster, Buddy and AJ would be a fantastic program.
No, I actually do think you're hitting the head. I think this will give the opportunity that he'll be able to break off and potentially the Good Brothers and him join up. I think it's time. They don't have to use the club. Everyone knows where they are. They could just start forming their faction and start kind of wrecking shop. Absolutely. I mean, and
who's to do that? You have Sanity. You have New Day. Now you have another three-person tag team.
I mean, it makes sense because you could start doing something with that. Who runs the shop, you know? And who's to say that with how things are going with Finn Balor, how they can't bring him over and make that complete?
Well, make a swap.
Jeff Hardy to the point, Finn Balor.
Even to the point with like with the three-man team, like I think it was 2016, the tribute to the troops, where you had the Shield, then the New Day, then you had all three of them came up like, we're the better three-man tag team. We're the better three. It's like, guys, it's us. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, all in due time will happen, but I do feel that after this, SmackDown's going to get a nice little lift with some stuff. I think also Dean Ambrose will be returning soon and hopefully getting himself in the picture as well. So, I agree. I've already said it. We've got Rusev. It sounds like all of us have got Rusev going, but it's for the good of SmackDown and not just because of the fact that it just makes perfect sense.
It's time for things to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get into our last match, I just want to give one more shout out to Malice Corp, Malice-Corp. Thank you very much for allowing us to do this show. Make sure you check out their site. Make sure you check out the Quest for 100 with Beacon and Big Papa Matt. Make sure you check out Quester comics. Just check everything out. There's so much stuff on there. I get mixed up with it sometimes because there's so much good stuff on that site. It's one of the reasons why I got in with this group at the beginning is because there's just a lot of quality podcasts and quality articles on their site. So Malice-Corp, thank you very much for allowing us to do this weekly. So last match, and I think it's going to be the match of the night, match of the year. It's a match that we've been waiting for a while. Dolph Ziggler versus Seth freaking Rollins, and which kind of throws me off a little bit. An Iron match, to me, was 60 minutes, but I guess they had to cut it down to 30 for time's sake.
About a month and a half ago, when you wanted to shit on me for saying that 30-minute Iron Man matches, but most of the Iron Man matches over the last 15 years have been 30-minute matches.
Yep. Well, yeah, but the better ones were 60 minutes.
And we have no, that's not true. But
oh, come on, man.
Look back at it. Yeah, we've had AJ match. You know what? Every single Kurt Angle Iron Man match has been a 30-minute Iron Man match.
They were afraid his neck was going to break.
This is before the neck surgery. This was like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Dude, his neck surgery was before he joined WWE. Remember, he broke his freaking neck winning the gold medal. Anyways, 30-minute Iron Man match. Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins. Now, I'm going to cross my fingers and pray that as much as I like Drew McIntyre, that he either stays out of it or just does not come out at all. This match needs to happen to be exactly what everyone wants it to be, which is Dolph freaking Ziggler, who's been one of the top guys for the last 20 years in the WWE or 18, whatever. I don't know, man. It almost feels like 20. But the guy is one of the best wrestlers that WWE has had since Shawn Michaels. And he's right now riding a high. And then you've got Seth freaking Rollins, who's been freaking just carrying Raw and probably putting some of the best matches that WWE have seen since Shawn Michaels. These guys are very complimentary to each other. They both have their own move sets, but they could do any move, which is awesome. They're both killer promos. I don't know what else to say. This is gonna be match of the year contender. I don't even have a winner on this one. I really don't, because no matter who wins this one, we win. If Dolph Ziggler wins, he holds on to the title. He still does his heel Ziggler move. You got him and Drew McIntyre doing their thing, which will probably lead to, like we've already talked about, Drew McIntyre possibly getting a shot at the belt at SummerSlam. If Seth Rollins wins, he gets a belt back. He continues having awesome promos. The only reason why I don't think that's going to happen is because of the fact that I think they are going to be pushing this Ziggler and McIntyre group together to where McIntyre may potentially get a chance at that heavyweight belt. I think it's also going to leave it open to where Dean Ambrose comes back and the Shield forms again, or at least kind of gets things moving, because Dean Ambrose is going to need that Shield. I don't want to say protection, but just need that Shield pop initially as he comes back. He's going to get a huge ovation when he comes back all together, but to have the Shield around him and get him back into the groove of things and have him get in some kind of a fight or something is going to be good for Dean Ambrose. But I think when it all comes down to it, all the Shield guys are solid where they're at, especially when Dean comes back. Seth Rollins has been putting on matches without the belt. And I think Ziggler needs to have the belt a little bit, because he's just one of those guys that when you give him the belt, it really brings out some of the best matches for the IC belt. I think it's going to be great. I mean, what do you guys think?
So I can see it's the same way. This is going to be a great match. You have Rollins, who has been at the top of his game, Monday Night Rollins. You have Dolph Ziggler, who steals the show. This is going to be a great match. This 30-minute match is going to happen. It needs to happen the entire way, like you say. It can go either way. If Dolph wins, I can see a continued program between – either way, I can see a continued program with him and Seth all the way through SummerSlam. This is a great program. This is the great time to have this one. If McIntyre does come out and tries to interfere, it might be too soon, but we could possibly see Dean coming out to Seth Zayn. Maybe, but I don't know. But either way, whoever wins it, it's going to be a great match, and I can see it going either way, and I'd be happy with the outcome as well.
Marty?
This is by far going to be the best match of the night, and absolutely going to be one of the best matches of the year. When you have two talents like such as Seth and Dolph in the ring at any time, with the exception of when he's with Corbin, you're going to see a great match from both of them. They're two guys who really do live and wrestle to leave it all out there in the ring. There's not very many matches where you watch them and you feel like they didn't do enough to keep that match going. They put the blood, sweat, and tears. They put it all out there every time they walk into that ring. So, the promos they cut with each other, they are a typical yin-yang. They literally complement each other with everything they do. The chemistry the two of them have with their fighting styles is going to be fantastic. We're seeing Dolph at a level that we saw him at before the whole Baron Corbin thing happened. Coming out of Survivor Series, would be the last man standing. He was on a high that he hadn't been on since he beat Del Rio for the heavyweight title. But we're seeing a level in Ziggler that, those months of why is he coming out with this theme music this week? Why is he doing it this way? The program with Bobby Roode, it was leading to a certain point that he could only go up from there. And he's reaching that point. And the fact that Seth freaking Rollins is Monday Night Rollins because he's running that show, and he has been with the absence of, what's supposed to be a universal champion. But, you have two guys who are by far towards the top of the list, the entire roster, going to put this match on for 30 minutes. And I don't know, this match can go either way with multiple pins or, come down to a 2-1 or a 3-2. It's going to be a great match no matter what they do. I hope that they don't have any interferences in this match. I really don't. If they do, then I hope it's something like that balances out, whether McIntyre comes down and gets involved. Then I hope that either a Ambrose returns or that Roman comes out and progresses that storyline from earlier that we talked about with him going forward with the program with McIntyre. So this could absolutely help there. I wouldn't even mind if he came out and then Roman intercepted him before he even did anything in the match. That would be awesome too. But I really hope that they're able to give a solid wrestling match where they can focus and show us and give us what we know they can give us and be, a fantastic match. Either way, no matter how great of a match it's going to be, Ziggler's walking out with the belt.
Yeah.
And I think this is a step off point for Rollins to get back into the main event picture.
Yeah, I do agree with you with Ziggler, man. When Ziggler had the championship belt, when he won the World Heavyweight Championship, man, he was on a high. He was the best thing going at the time, and it was awesome. It was like one of those you don't expect him to win it, and then when he did win it, oh man, the reign was awesome. Take out the Vicky Guerrero aspect of it, but I will definitely trade Drew McIntyre over Vicky Guerrero at this point. I'm excited to see him. I think he will win the match because I do think the belt is better in his hands than it is right now with Seth Rollins. I think you're right. Seth Rollins, it'll give him the opportunity to get himself back in the main event. And like I said before, he does not need to have a belt. He's killing it right now. Everyone says it online and everything that he is the best thing going right now on Raw. That is the only reason why Raw is not falling apart without a championship because Seth freaking Rollins. Every time, Seth freaking Rollins. And that's why I wanted to hold this match to the end, because I do think this is going to be the match of the night. And I will say that it will be at the Slammies match of the year contender. It's going to be up there with freaking Velveteen Dream and Ricochet. This is the match I want to see, and I really hope they don't pull it mid card. I hope they don't do a first match. They need to do it somewhere at the second, the third last match. It can't be the final one, obviously, because you always want to have the heavyweight championship as your main event, especially because you only have one. But I do think it's going to be up there, and I really hope they don't pull that too early. I think they hope they hold it for last, because that is probably going to be the most anticipated and talked about match when it's all said and done. Yeah. Goose pimples, man, just starting to crawl in my arms just thinking about that, dude. Seriously, man. I love watching both those guys when they're top of their game. It's some of the best, purest. It's the reason why when people give me crap about watching wrestling, I was like, dude, watch one of their matches. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's freaking awesome. So Mind Freak, who do you think is going to pull it off, man? I know that Jannetty and I both said Ziggler was going to pull it off. What do you think?
Ziggler.
So we all agree it's in the Ziggler, too. Son of a bitch. Damn it. Oh, man. Well, that's all right. Great minds think alike, right?
Yep.
There you go. Well, hey, guys, this was our pre-show. It's our first pre-show we've actually done where we've had some time to really chat about stuff and everything. We're excited. We're going to be bringing you more of these. Really appreciate you guys watching it and everything. I hope if you guys don't agree with anything we say or you agree or whatever, take a minute as you're watching this, put it in the comments below. Let us know that we're freaking we're awesome as all hell like Bobby Heenan, or we're pencil neck geeks, whatever you want to call us. Just throw it out there. But we definitely appreciate you guys checking our videos, liking them, sharing them, please. Let your friends know about it who like wrestling, man, because like I said, this is just that podcast for guys who like to just chat about wrestling and nothing else, at least during the time we're on here. Mind Freak, where can we follow you?
Follow me always at Twitter at MindFreakMLG, at Instagram at @just_MindFreak, and on Twitch at @BTBMindFreak.
And then what about you, Jannetty? Where can we follow you?
You can find me Instagram and on Twitter at MartyVasquez87. Also, make sure you're following us on MouseKnockoff on Twitter. Go out. We're going to have all of our picks from tonight's show posted so that you can watch it, follow up with us on the day of, whether that's agreeing with us, whether that's blowing us down for our picks, whatever it may be. Throw your picks out there. Make sure you're joining on the fun. Tap some back and forth. We'll do our best to do some live tweeting and chatting during the event on Sunday. Also, if you don't know, now you know, this is the weekend where the World Cup and the March Madness of all wrestling comes into effect, and the G1 Climax for New Japan Pro Wrestling happens this weekend, weekend one. It's a whole month event. If you want to see wrestling tournament and the best wrestlers in the world, this is the weekend to start watching New Japan Wrestling.
That's a great plug, because I'm going to be watching it this weekend too. Yeah, and yep. I appreciate the Twitter shout out there, but I will throw this out there. Depending on how things are going and who's watching what and who's tweeting stuff, and depending on how many beverages somebody's maybe had, there might be some crazy ass tweets going through that. I'll tell you that, because I am not going to lie. Extreme Rules is one of my favorite pay-per-views. For some reason, those crazy ass matches that they throw in there are just the ones I love watching. It's the appreciation, I guess, for someone who grew up watching freaking ECW and Mick Foley give their bodies to the business and everything. It's the appreciation I have for it. What's that?
Cactus Jack.
Well, yeah. Well, Mankind technically throwing them off the damn top of the Hell in a Cell and crashing through.
Cactus Jack still playing some barbed wire ring matches.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Still getting thrown off a damn top of a cage, man, onto a thing. I think that's brutal, dude.
Yeah, but that came like 20 years after he started hardcore, man.
Yeah, he probably didn't feel it at that point. He was probably on meds or something. You could definitely follow me at Masonic Vader on Twitter. You can follow me at Masonic Vader 71 on PS4. And like I always like to throw on this podcast, as much as I appreciate you following me here, I would rather have you following us on Twitter at Malice Smack Talk on Twitter, Malice Smack Talk on Instagram, Definitely check out our YouTube, follow us, subscribe to that. Let your friends know. This is a great podcast. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback and we're looking for more. And for you people who have just joined us this last week on Twitter, we look forward to seeing you checking out our videos. We'll definitely get that up there and we appreciate you joining the crew. Once again, thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll catch you after Extreme Rules. And like I said, follow that Twitter page. I'm sure there's going to be some crazy tweets coming out that hour. So thank you once again. It's time to close out the show. Give us that 1, 2, 3 count. Catch you guys later.